At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just $20.
All right, here we go. Getting rolling here. 4 o'clock hour. Crisello. Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, where he is once again champion of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Dave Roberts is a ridiculous pull in the game show. Left-handed pitcher for the Padres in 1971 who had an insane WAR ratio.
And Tony just knew it.
He said he saw it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Dave Roberts in 1971 had the same WAR that Randy Jones had in 1975 when Randy had a 7.5 WAR.
By the way, I was notified that you got the Cy Young year wrong for Randy
Jones. I know,
I'm
looking it up. Yeah, I said Randy, the year Randy had his best WAR was 75, but he won the Cy Young in 76 when his WAR was 4.7. Go figure.
Go figure.
I guess that WAR statistic is kind of stupid. Oh, yeah. I've said that before. Anyway, hope you enjoyed a little bit of a trip down Padre memory lane with our Fantabulous Sports Game Show today. We got a Chris versus the Fan for you here shortly. 833-288-0973 on the scoreboard. Today, Blue Jays beat the Orioles in the... other way around. Orioles beat the Blue Jays, sorry, in the first game of a doubleheader. 16-4. The big news... The Orioles tied the all-time Major League record with, count them, 5 sacrifice flies.
They just showed Jackson Holiday's record tying
sacrifice fly. Was there celebration everywhere?
No, I don't think anybody had any idea.
Nobody
what was
even
happening.
Knew. Yeah, we told Jesse Agler earlier on the show, and even he didn't care too much, which is saying something. Also in that game, Charlie Morton was the winning pitcher. I mention it because his name has come up as a trade possibility. Charlie Morton has got 7-1 in his last 8 decisions. After a terrible start to the year, he's pitched well. Also between games, the Orioles traded Sir Anthony Dominguez, reliever, to the Blue Jays. So he walked across the field, and he's in a Blue Jay uniform for the second game of the doubleheader.
That's
got to
be
strange.
A somewhat complicated move because you're moving internationally.
Not today, he's not. He's just moving across the diamond. But yes, eventually he'll have to move internationally. Toronto leads the second game 1-0. Arizona's got an early 1-0 lead at Detroit. Detroit has stumbled badly here
in the last few
weeks. The story there, Corbin Carroll with his 14th triple of the year. Another stat that nobody seems to care much about, but he's closing in on Lance Johnson's modern-day record of 21 triples. For the Mets in 1996. So triples and sacrifice flies, the big stories today in baseball.
All right.
All right. Let's get to whatchamacallit. A little Chris versus...
Oh, that's a great bar, too. Chocolate bar. Whatchamacallit.
You like that?
Yeah.
Do you like the Almond Joy?
I love Almond
You do?
Joy.
Oh, we have to talk.
What?
I'll explain in the next segment. We're going to talk about Almond Joy.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about what you somehow got a policeman to make your day. And I can't
glorious.
Wait to hear this story because you guys out there are going to love this.
It was glorious.
First, though, we're going to play Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
By the way, when I say Lance Johnson has the modern-day triple record, he has the most triples in a season over the last 80 years.
Okay.
I want to make that official.
I mean... That's a long time.
Yeah. If you look at the all-time triples record, all the guys who hold it played before like 1950. But since then, Lance Johnson's the record holder.
We were joking in the break that they had so many triples because there was no like fences on some of these parks until 800 feet.
The ball just roll and roll and roll. Yeah, the actual, if anybody cares, the actual triple record for one season is 36. Guy did it back in 1912. But wow. Yeah, I think the alignment of the park was probably a little different.
A little bit different, but 14 is very impressive.
14's a lot.
Okay. We're playing for this, a qualification for a chance to win our grand prize, a two-night stay at Park MGM Las Vegas, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. Catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. The rules, you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know because you'll get that first question for free today. Brandon on the chat says, Chris did a good job reading the rules without the script yesterday.
I did. I was called upon.
Wow. And you did it without a script? I can't even do that, and I read it every single day.
I know. Adam said he could do it without a script also, because he's heard you say it so many times.
Really? I can't. I can't even do that. I guess I'm just...
You probably could. You just don't know you could.
Yeah, I always mess it up. That's why I have the script, so I don't mess it up. All right, let's go to our first contestant today.
I'm ready. Let's play ball.
Let's go with Lucas in Poway. Hello, Lucas. Lucas.
All right.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Very good, pretty Lucas. Good. How are you?
Fantastic.
All right. You
have
ready
you ever?
To play?
This is a question only I would ask. Lucas, have you ever seen the movie?
Yes, sir.
Lucas.
I sure have.
It's a pretty good movie, right? Way back in the day.
I gotta look this up now. Now you're sidetracking the
show. It's a cute story about a young kid named Lucas and kind of a coming of age story. Way back when.
Definitely. Oh,
a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Corey Haim maybe was in it.
Yes, Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder, but
Carrie
they were kids.
Green, Charlie
they were all
Sheen.
Kids. Yeah, they were all kids. It's a pretty good movie.
All right.
Football flick.
What's that?
I said little football flick.
Yeah, there's a little football involved in it as well. Yeah.
All right.
It's a pretty good movie. All right, I'm glad we mentioned
Lucas,
it.
Lucas, I'm glad that you've seen the movie because I haven't. Here is the first question. Who was the hero and walked it off for the Padres last night?
That'll be Elias Diaz.
Elias Diaz is correct. Nice job. I was happy for him.
Sure
he seemed
you
very
were.
Excited.
Sure you were.
I was.
You hate Elias Diaz.
I was. All right. I do not. You're the one complaining about the catching position all the time. All right. We're fighting. Question number two. Over the weekend, rookie Nick Kurtz hit four home runs in one game. What team does he play for?
That'd be the Athletics.
The Athletics is correct.
He's the only rookie ever to do that, by the way.
Eight RBIs. I think
that
he
was a hell of a
six
game.
For six.
Yeah. Earlier this year, of course, Suarez did it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe four home run games are more rare than perfect games. There's been more perfect games thrown in the history.
That's something.
Than four home run games. Quite the accomplishment by Mr. Kurtz.
Yeah, that is a huge accomplishment. The final one came off of a position player, but hey, it all counts, right?
Oh, yeah, nobody will remember that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Lucas, you're on to question number three. You get this right or Chris gets it wrong, you're qualified for this trip to Las Vegas. Before Sandy Alcantara was a Marlin, what team signed him as an amateur player?
Wow, I like your chances here, Lucas. I don't know this one, I don't think.
Let's say the White Sox.
He does seem like a White Sox at some point. Stay there, though. Stay there.
All right, so, look. He was just signed and then discarded. This is silly. Did he actually pitch for this team in the big leagues?
No, not in the big leagues, no.
Oh, so he was just kind of somebody. Was he traded from this team at least as part of a deal?
Yes.
All right. That makes I'll give you a little thing.
He was traded in 2017 to the Marlins.
To the Marlins.
And guess what? Oh, I can't say that. It's going to give it away.
No, don't give the rest of it away. I'll try the... I don't know why I seem to remember the Pirates for some stupid reason.
The Pirates!
Oh, wow! Lucas, you're a winner!
Stay there, Lucas.
That's how the game goes. Yesterday, we couldn't find a winner. Today, we get it on the first try.
This is why I thought you may know, because Marcelo Ozuna was traded from the Marlins to the Cardinals.
Cardinals? Nah.
Yeah, no Zach idea. Gallen was also traded from the Cardinals to the Marlins for Alcantara. So it says traded by the St. Louis Cardinals with Daniel Castaño, Zach Gallen, and Magnura Sierra, which is a great name, to the Marlins for Marcelo Ozuna. So I thought maybe you would remember
Alcantara
that.
And Zach Gallen both went from the Cardinals in the same trade?
In the same trade for Marcelo Ozuna.
That didn't work out too well for the Birds de Rojo.
No, they had two ace pitchers.
Yeah. All right, very good. Lucas, stay on the line. Winona Ryder somewhere is very proud. We'll take a break.
You and Winona.
I love Winona Ryder. When we come back, it'll be... Scraby had a great story about, if you can believe it, the police actually did something that Scraby is ecstatic about. We'll also explain why Almond Joy is a big deal. More Gwen and Chris headed your way after traffic.
From the 855 Get Ross Traffic Center, protecting San Diego after accidents or injury.
419. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. Kind of a potpourri segment for you here. I get fixated on this stuff sometimes, Greg. Corbin Carroll. Tonight... hit his 40th career triple. That's quite a few. It almost moves him into the top 10 among active players. He's 11th, which is a lot. He's only in his fourth season, and he's already 11th. Do you know who the active triple leader is in Major League Baseball? I'll give you a clue.
Oh, man.
He'll be at Petco Park tonight.
Lindor?
Oh, good guess. Not right, but a good guess.
Oh, is it Marte?
Yes, good job. Thank well you. Done. Starling Thank Marte, 55 career triples, and Mike also 55.
How is that possible?
Trout? He's pretty fast.
I know. Right? I feel kind of bad for Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Just because he went from being the best player in Major League Baseball to an afterthought. But that's how it goes.
He has raised his average a little, 234. He was down, you know, way down there for a long time. His OPS is still over 800 each of the last 3 years, which makes him a better than average player.
Yeah, he's hitting for power.
You're right. He's not the same as he was. But
that's what happens.
Trout, Trout to me is incredible because I didn't notice it. American League, I just don't get it as much. But MVP, he finished second, first, fourth, second, first. Like all in succession.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was a crazy run for Trout. And the WAR statistic has always loved this guy.
Yes,
he was over 10 almost every year.
Yeah.
This year he's 1.1, so they don't love him as much anymore. All right, the candy bar is called Almond Joy.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Right.
Sometimes you don't.
I'm bringing it up, and the people who heard the show the last few days are going to know why I'm bringing this up, but you weren't around for this. My buddy, Mike Golovko, who I went to college with.
Oh, Golovko.
You know the guy, right. You played golf with him.
Yep.
He also, for fun, has a minor share in two thoroughbred racehorses.
Wow.
One of them is a horse named Almond Joy.
Okay.
And it's spelled different. It's O-M space N space Joy.
Copyrights.
Almond Joy. No, it has something to do with the horse's sire, which was Om.
Oh, okay.
All right. So anyway, they because of that, they made a play on the words. They called the horse Almond Joy. Anyway, it ran on Friday night in a stakes race.
Okay.
And Mike invited me out. Said, you got to be with us. You got to see this horse run. She's great.
Okay.
She was great.
Oh, okay.
She crushed the field.
I'm glad that it was that instead of her being terrible.
No, I know. She crushed the field. Her fourth consecutive victory. And she's moving on to bigger and better things. So I was there, Scraby, and I told this to Adam yesterday. I had no money bet on the horse because I didn't want to jinx it. I have no stake in the horse, but I was standing there watching the race with Mike and a couple of the other minor owners and the trainer and all the people connected to the horse. And when this horse broke free and ran down the stretch, I'd never seen happier people in my life. The release and the, you know, to see your horse win that you own, it was incredible. And it's hard to explain. You had to kind of experience it to get it.
I can understand it.
But that was really something. So
good
for the Mike and all those, everybody.
Not that you need to reveal how much money they're making, but yeah. Are they making good money off of this horse?
He is now. The horse earned $85,000 for the win.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And Mike gets a piece of that.
All right. That's
a minority owner.
Hey.
So he does okay on this one.
Okay.
His other horse has not run yet because of various injuries and things. It's a very difficult game to get into. And
sure.
I mean, in terms of finding a horse and getting the horse out on the track and into races, and it's really something to win one race, let alone four in a row. So it's very exciting.
That is exciting.
But not as exciting as your story. Take us through what happened yesterday on your drive home from the Bay Area.
Well, it's Yosemite area.
Okay. And the police, normally not anybody's friend out there on the highway. But in this case, Scraby, the authorities made your day.
Yes, they did. I have two stories, but I'm going to start with this story.
Okay, you got two stories. Okay.
Well, I have a kind of a funny story, and you're a dog guy, so you're going to kind of, I think you're going to laugh at this. But anyway.
Okay.
So we're driving home, and I'm convinced that people are worse drivers than ever before because you just see people doing whatever the heck they want at any moment. I saw someone go on the shoulder because they just didn't want to wait in line for traffic, Chris. So they just drove on the shoulder
while everybody was piled up there.
Yeah.
I know people drove the shoulder. No, you know the laws don't apply to all the people. I don't know if you're aware of that, Scraby.
I am now.
Yeah. No, there's several people who the laws do not apply to.
Yes, so. And for anybody who has listened to this show for a long time, who knows who like what I'm all about, you know that this is about to be one of the greatest stories of my life.
You're going to be so happy, and when you hear this out there, you're going to be happy for him.
So we're driving. I'm going the speed limit. Everybody's going the speed limit. But there's, of course, someone that's coming running up behind us as fast as possible.
Right.
And I was like, they're going to try and cut in front of me. But I didn't want it because I had my niece in the car. I didn't want to be aggressive. I was going to let them in, whatever.
Okay.
So they didn't just cut me off. They cut the front part of my car off to the point where I had to slam on my brakes and I honked. And the person in the car didn't care, just kept going, weaving in and out.
You mean they didn't ask for you to pull over to the side so they could apologize?
No, but I did have to slam on my brakes because they almost hit us because they thought they had enough space. They did not.
No, and I mean, people weaving in and out 90 miles an hour or more, and yeah, I've said it at least 50 times, stop doing that.
Yes, but they're not going to. But I have no idea how this person did not realize that there was a police officer following behind me. Like, directly behind me. And I knew this for about 10, 15 miles. I knew this police officer was there, so I was on my best behavior.
Yeah, you were being careful.
So they cut me off. I slam on my brakes. I honk. And then I look behind me. And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't do anything.
Oh, the lights went on behind you.
Yes, behind me. They went. And I'm like, okay, now I got to pull over now because this guy thinks that I was at fault.
This is so unfair. You're thinking you're getting pulled over because you had to hit the brakes.
I had to dodge the person.
Yeah.
So I thought I was going to have this whole explanation for the officer.
Yeah.
But I pulled over to the next lane. I was going to go into the shoulder. The officer didn't follow me.
The officer hit
the gas and went after that car.
I love it.
Pulled him over.
I love it. Please tell me that once you saw them pulled over, you pulled over about 30 yards ahead of them and got out and did a little dance.
No, you know what we did as a car?
No.
As we passed the, or as the officer passed us, we all looked at the officer and...
You applauded the
officer. Applauded the officer because it was the most instant gratification of what I need on the roads.
That's for that story's for all of us, because every single one of us has seen some idiot drive like, you know, that, spin our car around, or cut us off, or go in the wrong lane.
Just being an idiot.
Or use the diamond lane, the carpool lane without having any, all this stuff, and there's never a policeman there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this time, they finally was one there.
It was one there, and they pulled out, like, immediately. Like,
good.
Not even a half second went by. This police officer was my hero. And so, thank you.
That gives me a little hope in law enforcement and humanity.
It put me in a good mood the rest of the day, Chris.
Sure.
This was, like, one of the best things that's ever happened to me. And everybody that knows, I want this to happen.
I honestly would have gotten out of the car and done a dance, except for I would have been concerned that the policeman would have gone, all right, pal, get over here, and then cited me for disturbing
dancing?
The peace or something.
I went on.
But, yeah, this is the ultimate in-your-face moment.
Yes, it's
good.
It's so good. All right, quickly the other story.
Thank you for that, policeman.
Yes.
And you know what? I want to say, look, in all seriousness, I mean, we appreciate, you know, the job you guys and gals do out there. It's, you know, it's incredible,
it's,
really.
Yeah, it's tough.
But we would love it if you could be there every time somebody breaks the law around us.
Just please follow me everywhere.
Just follow Scraby. Yeah,
you'll see
people
all the
breaking
people,
the law everywhere. Right?
But we looked at the people going by, and they're like all like, ah, rah, 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 rah. Well, don't be a dummy then. All right, other story. I went to go pick up the dogs from the kennel, and I'm waiting behind this old couple, and they are taking forever. They're confirming appointments for next year. They're doing all this other stuff. I'm like, I just want to get my dogs and go. 10 minutes, Chris, they stood in front of me. 10 minutes. First off, the guy paid $4,000 for his 2 weeks dog stay, and the guy was not happy with his wife for the $4,000 that they owed.
She obviously did not clear that with him.
No, but they were gone for 2 weeks, so they go get their dogs.
Right.
I am standing there. This guy is so excited. He's like, here they come. I'm so excited to see you guys. Both dogs ran to me.
Passed him by.
And ran up to me like they wanted to play. Mm. And the guy was sitting there looking at me like, what is happening to my dogs? And so I felt weird because this guy's dogs are basically telling him they don't like him.
I think they like him. I think they became confused and disoriented.
I was in visual range of the dogs. They were not. But this guy was so upset.
Perhaps you're a dog whisperer. Maybe you missed your calling.
Dogs do love me.
Maybe you missed your calling.
But it was so awkward because the woman, the wife, was like, over here. I'm over here.
And the dogs were with you.
Yeah, the dogs
did you have treats in your pocket, potentially? That's always a possibility.
No, I didn't have any treats in my pocket. But I felt like that was a funny story.
Because we know all dogs go where the treats are.
Well, if my dogs came out and went up to someone else, I would be extremely hurt. I'd
be a little frustrated.
Anyway.
All right, Big Five is next. We'll get back to some crazy, instead of just crazy stories, crazy sports stories when Gwen and Chris returns. I'm back at you here on Gwen and Chris 436. More good news surrounding Michael King, who threw a sim game yesterday at Petco Park, came out of it, said he felt 100%. Word now that Michael King will make a rehab start this weekend. If you happen to be in the El Paso area, you may want to go see him pitch. He's going to apparently pitch either Saturday or Sunday for the Chihuahuas. But that is another step toward getting Michael King back in this rotation.
It's almost hard to believe that he's pitched at all this year. It seems like it was so long ago that he did.
It isn't. Well, it is. They need him. And good. The other thing is the whole freak injury, right? It was sleeping. Michael, when you come back, no more sleeping.
Just don't sleep. Not get a new bed, but just don't sleep.
Well, I mean, I don't know. He can't roll on top of his arm in his sleep. Sorry, we can't have that again.
No, we definitely cannot. And if there's not a mattress place that's giving Michael King a sponsorship, then you're missing out.
A free sponsorship. All right, Scrab, you ready? Big Five time yet? No, not yet.
Give me a second.
The show is, I don't know if you've noticed, the show hasn't been as smooth today.
Okay, as some of the other days. You didn't need to say that.
And, you know, it just...
What?
Well, it's your return day, so you're taking time
I
to get back
into the fray. I keep
clicking
the wrong buttons. I keep
pretty much
cutting
all day
Chris off. I keep doing things, you know. It's not good stuff.
All right, you ready to try the big five, see if you can handle that?
Yes, in a second. Yes, right. You know, sometimes these video files that I do, we're going to talk about Happy Gilmore 2 at the end of the Big Five. I really enjoyed it.
You were pleased with that.
I did. It's a bad movie, but who cares? That's what it is. All right, we can go to traffic now.
Okay. Sorry to inform you, but what I just said about Scraby having a disastrous time in his return to the rim is really just... happens to be the truth. He's still having technical difficulties with today's Big Five.
Yes.
And I can tell you
yes,
in advance
yes,
that
yes,
there's
yes.
going to be more difficulties once the Big Five starts.
All right, I think we're ready, Chris.
Don't miss this.
I think we're ready for it.
What a... God, where's Adam when you need him?
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, it is very, very fitting on the day I get back. I closed out my tab while we were going into the segment, and then I had to log back in. So give me a second as I go through all of this.
We didn't see mistakes like these the last three shows.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't. All right, this hour at 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Staples. Calling all parents and teachers at Staples, your back-to-school budget is officially saved by the button. The easy button, with supplies as low as 25 cents, plus laptops up to 40% off, and more deals on top brands and trending styles. Find it all at Staples. That was easy.
They have that, too.
Chris is hellbent on getting this
That was their original
back.
Tagline that they have Staples also.
He is hellbent on getting this tagline, which is not a bad tagline.
It's not a bad tagline.
That was good.
Yeah. All right, let's start with
I
a very...
I just want you to know, Scraby, I am on camera. Wanted you to...
Oh, okay, let me
go
take
ahead
care
and
of that.
Put it in the three.
You know, nothing like a
not
good...
Not quite right there.
Nothing like a
almost.
Good on-show
We're almost there
adjustment,
we go.
But I got to put Gwen over here so he's looking at Chris. There we go.
Oh, okay, there you go.
All right.
Now we're ready.
Number five.
I love the people driving along right now going, what are they doing?
I've actually talked to people about this, and they some people go and look and see. So if you want to, go to YouTube, search 97.3 The Fan.
I think our listeners, not just our listeners in general now, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty aware.
They got to adjust to the new day and age here.
Now,
yeah,
fair
they
enough.
They want my ugly mug for
Chris,
some reason
Chris, this
on
is
YouTube.
Like the... This is like the new version of a simulcast, right? Like, remember, Vin used to do radio and TV and kind of had to, like, mirror the two? This is kind of that.
Okay. I'm up for it.
Well, it's been going on for, like, almost 2 years
I also
now.
Don't really have much of a choice. You know, Scraby's going to be doing all these maneuverings and machinations on live radio.
Okay. Total me question. I'm just moving forward. But last night, Elias Diaz walked it off for the Padres, and for one night, he was the
hero.
Is
this the fifth question?
Yes.
Is this the number question number one? All right.
Yes. For the season, and Tony, you're up first, and it's a really difficult question for you to answer, I think. For the season, he is hitting 200 with a 570 OPS. How many moments does a guy like Elias Diaz need to make the rest of the season, quote-unquote, worth it in your eyes as a fan? Let me ask that again. How many times does he need to be the hero to make the rest of the season worth it in your eyes as a fan, Tony?
Yeah, I'm perplexed by the question as well, Tony. So,
like, okay, last night he was great. He was a hero. But
I
we
know.
Complain about it like 99% of the time. So if he has three walk-off hits during the year, are we allowed to complain about the rest of the season?
I think he could have 20 walk-off hits. And people would still complain at the end of the day if his numbers don't stand up to whatever their standard is of the catcher should be. I don't know. I it's really hard to answer this question. How many walk-offs can he have before?
Or moments.
Or moments.
Like throwing out a guy at second to save.
How many does he have right now?
I think one.
No, that's not true. He hit a two-run home run. He hit a two-run home run and a 2-0 win at Detroit this year. I think he's played excellent defense. In fact, I would even argue that he's played better defensively a lot of times than Martin Maldonado has. I think Mike Schilt likes Martin Maldonado because he's a coach out there on the field, and the two of them think, you know, along the same lines. But look, that was a great moment for Diaz. You got to give him one. You know, I mean, it's been a tough year for him. I don't think he wants to hit 200. He's a former All-Star. He knows he's a better hitter than this. But at the same time, he's the number nine guy in your lineup. How many number nine guys are contributing game-winning hits around baseball? It doesn't happen often, Tony, right?
Thank you for stepping in there, because I was just kind of lost.
Yeah, right.
I knew going into it was going to be tough.
I think Chris has made a good case. I think, listen, he's hitting 20 points less than Kyle Higashioka. The difference is Kyle had the whatever how many homers. He had 12 more homers than Diaz does right now. And so I guess if we're quantifying it by that, I mean, he needs about seven more moments.
I can tell you he's going to have two more home run moments, because he's on pace to do one home run a month, and he's been doing it all season.
All right,
so
here's a new thing. For the rest of the season, I'm going to start tracking moments. And
moments.
This is going to be a Gwynn and Chris stat, the moments. Stat. All right. Thank you for entertaining that question.
Chris disappeared for some reason. I don't know if he
what
just
happened
decided
to Chris?
Because
to
the computer ran out of battery that he's
it
got here. So we're going to have. Yes, it did. I swear to God, it did. It said it was about to run out, and then I looked over and it was out. So, I mean, this is. Okay. See, when I say machinations, this is what I mean. We're in the middle of the Big Five. We're actually doing something that's hopefully entertaining the listeners, and you're over here on the side doing technical work.
Machinations.
And by the way, those who are watching only got to see, they see a black screen, and then they were watching Scraby's elbow for like the past 15 seconds as well. So it's just been great across the board.
Yes, we're also going to run over on the Big Five, which is going to be 100% your fault.
Did you guys just wake up and say, today Scraby's back? We're going to give the last 4 days back to him.
No, you know what happened is we woke up and Scraby was actually here. And so all this stuff just kind of happens naturally now because you're
I'd
back.
Agree. I'd agree, man.
It totally does.
Yeah,
so
the days of smoothness are long gone. Back to normal. Are we going to get to number four in this lifetime?
Number four.
Okay.
All right. My goodness. I don't even know if I clicked this.
Number four.
Yes. But 49ers aside, I will not give my opinion on this. Cornerback Charvarius Ward admits he did not play his best in 2024, his final year with the 49ers, feeling slighted by the refusal of a contract extension he believed he earned. He now is on the Indianapolis Colts after leaving in free agency. And for a little background, he did have his two-year-old pass away suddenly in October of last year. So he does say something about that. I want to give background. Quote, even before everything happened with my baby, I really wasn't super motivated. Because after the year I had in 23, I wanted a contract extension because I wanted to stay. And I knew I wasn't getting a contract offer. They came to me and kind of told me what it was because they had other people to pay. So it kind of had me in my feelings a little bit. I just never made it public. I was hurt when I realized I wasn't getting a contract extension or even an offer for an extension. So I wasn't motivated. From like OTAs all the way through camp, I was kind of pissed off. I knew when the season started, it was a wrap for me in the Bay. Chris, do you think that he should have said this?
Now?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he wants to tell his new team, you know, why he's going to be way better this season. So, you know, that to me comes off as in his mind, a fair explanation. I don't know that it is a fair explanation. I think your job as a professional athlete is to leave your contract stuff at home and go out on the field and compete, because you are competing for the guys that are lining up next to you. And so I think this says a little something about him. And hopefully if he has to do it over again, he'll do it differently. On the other side, say whatever he wants. If your child passed away during the season?
Totally get it.
My goodness. I don't even know how he was showing up to play on Sunday afternoons. That would be devastating to anybody. So, you know, I'm going to throw him a grain of salt on all counts here and hopefully with a clean slate. After the first game of the season, because they play the Dolphins, he'll play well.
Always comes back to the
Dolphins.
That's
right, yeah.
Tony, do you think he should have said this in retrospect?
Yeah, I mean, this is you hope that this is growth, right? I think he acknowledged that he was in his feelings and that he wasn't a pro. He didn't use those words. He said motivated. But I think he ultimately knows that that wasn't the best way to go about it. I think that's why he's actually thinking about it publicly. And I think this is just kind of the human element. Not everyone is good at being professional when their feelings get involved. Yeah. I think that's honestly most of us. When you allow your emotions and your feelings to get involved on business, it affects you. And it's no different to me than, you know, a guy struggling and it not looking happy to be out there, right? I mean, these are, in a perfect world, Chris is absolutely right. And there are guys who execute it well, who can, you know, push aside feelings and just be, show up, be a pro. But not everybody's good at that. And I would say that there's a, he's not the first, and he certainly won't be the last to go through that. And that's not even to mention the fact that he lost a child in early part of the season, really. And so, yeah, you know, I'm with Chris. I'm going to give him a pass. I think he's talking about this because I think he wants to be better moving forward.
All right. No, I totally would be the guy to say all this, too. I would be like, yeah, I get why he said it. I do.
Well, you bring your feelings to the show every day, so you should totally understand this.
I totally understand it. I mean, it's a daily occurrence with me sticking my foot in my mouth or admitting something. So I just hope he's at more at peace with everything.
Yeah, that's not easy.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Number three. We all know the Browns have their struggles when it comes to making decisions as it regards to player decisions, and owner Jimmy Haslam wants everyone to know he did not draft Shedeur Sanders. Here he is with the media today talking about it.
We have good process, okay? And if you'd have told me, let's see, we picked him on Saturday, right? Friday night driving home, y'all are going to pick Shedeur, I would say that's not happening. But we had a conversation early that morning, and then we had a conversation later that day. I think we had the right people involved in the conversation. At the end of the day, that's Andrew Berry's call. Andrew made the call to pick Shedeur. Just like who's going to start or what play we're going to call is Kevin's call. But that's Andrew's call. He made the call.
And basically, he said it was the GM's call.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you couldn't hear. I'm not sure why you couldn't hear.
That's
anyway,
all right.
We're back at work, everybody. Tony, what is he telling us here?
Yeah, y'all need to stop making up stuff in the media. I don't even know that this was a media narrative. I just think this was a, you know, it got posted that they drafted him. And so everybody just starts, people just make up stuff in 2025. They've been making up stuff for quite a long time. And listen, I don't think owners have any problem. We watch Jerry Jones all the time tell us the decisions that he's making and the buck stops with him. Owners don't have problems doing that when it's actually true. Just listening to him talk, he don't seem like the type that is involved with actual personnel. Now, when it comes to paying the very most money, yeah, you're going to have to bring that to his attention. Like if he's about to pay a whole 100% non-guaranteed or all guaranteed, fully guaranteed contract, yes, he's going to be involved in that decision. But I don't think he's involved in terms of what was Shedeur pick? What round was that?
Fifth
round. I don't think he's involved in that. I believe him when he says that was left up to the powers
Andrew
that
Berry.
Be in terms of Andrew Berry. There you go.
Chris, what does he mean here? Like, what is he trying to tell us?
I think the one thing he's trying to tell us is that if Shedeur Sanders doesn't work out and ends up to be a
bust
off the field, this time it's not his fault.
I was just about to bring up the fact
that's the only thing I can think of.
Hey, I did not draft Shedeur Sanders, but I did pay Deshaun Watson over $200 million fully guaranteed.
Right. So I think that's it's just a preemptive strike. But at the same time, I'm also surprised that he cares at all, because anybody that could originally sign Deshaun Watson can't possibly care what anybody else thinks.
That's a good point. So. NFL was quite mad at him after he did that.
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny. He was like, I didn't draft him, okay?
All right.
Number two.
And
it's funny that that's – I didn't even think of that until you guys just said that.
Yeah, I can't hear his name without thinking about Deshaun Watson.
And all the other terrible decisions he's made over the years.
Quite a few.
I guess that makes some sense.
The Braves and Reds are going to be playing in front of a lot of people on Saturday. On August 2nd, they'll face off at Bristol Motor Speedway, one of my favorite tracks in the country for NASCAR. And it's the first ever American or National League game in Tennessee, which I think is kind of fun. They have sold more than 85,000 tickets to this, and that will break the record of 84,587 set on September 12th, 1954, when Cleveland Stadium hosted the Yankees.
Okay.
Fans have purchased tickets from all 50 states, Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and 9 countries on 4 continents. So, Chris, do these destination games add any value for you?
Not anymore. I thought it was great. I don't know who we should thank for this. Was the NHL the first to say, we're going to play an outdoor game? Because when they did that, everybody was into it. Now they still do it, and I don't know that people follow it as closely. A lot of college teams started playing in, indoor teams were playing in football stadiums. I know, like, wasn't it Nebraska volleyball or something drew 100,000 people at the football stadium to see a volleyball match. So I think there's some interest here. I don't have a whole lot of interest, because I think if I was one of the 87,000 people in Bristol, I probably wouldn't be able to see the game too well. Other than to be able to say I was there. People do kind of like that.
It's a very small stadium.
87,000 people?
But it's the track is like only a half mile around. So it's like it's called the Last Great Coliseum or something.
This is I'm not against this, because this is happening in all sports, including the opposite, where NASCAR is coming here to San Diego next June on the naval base in Coronado to run one of their races.
No permits needed for that.
Yeah, so, you know, people can have at it, and it sells out every time, so they might as well keep doing it.
Tony, do these destiny? Okay, so let me change the question for Tony.
Why are you changing the question for me?
Do these games add any additional value for you?
Zero.
I knew that was the case.
Zero value.
I knew it. Yeah, but you're right. I just don't.
At this point, I mean, maybe you guys can give me some other reasons other than making a whole bunch of money at a new site. I can't think of another reason why it would be like these aren't. I don't consider these new eyeballs to the game. I think there's some crossover with NASCAR and baseball, so I don't know that this is bringing any new fans to the.
I thought hockey outside brought a lot of new fans to hockey because they wanted to see it. But Tony's right. Is this going to really raise baseball's profile?
No, it's just going to make them a lot of
money. It's a cool thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're going to have a game at a NASCAR track, but I don't know that.
The field looks cool, too.
I bet.
Yeah, all of it looks cool.
Still 90 feet on the bases, right?
Yes.
It's no different when they go out to the Field of Dreams, right? That's super cool as well. But, like, at least there's some, like, nostalgia to that game, because they certainly, I don't know how much money they're making. There's not that many seats in that place.
Yeah, that's
here,
true.
You got 86,000, which is bigger than pretty much all of the baseball stadiums now that we don't have a Coliseum in the mix anymore. And so, yeah, I think this is just about, you know, making some loot.
My other question was, how stressed out would Dave Marcus be knowing that he had to do a game on Friday in a stadium, go travel to the Bristol Motor Speedway, set up, and then go back on Sunday? I don't even know if they're playing two games. I'm not even sure, but
I'm pretty sure he's sweating just thinking about it.
I would be. So honestly, this would be a lot for anyone.
Number one.
All right, did you guys, I haven't talked to you guys about this, but did you guys watch Happy Gilmore 2?
Yeah, not yet.
I haven't watched it yet.
Okay, well, I did first thing Friday morning. I was very excited, and I loved it for what it was. I never expected
an Oscar-worthy movie. But critics are just destroying the movie for being a money grab and being terrible. So, Tony, why do critics always review every fun movie in a terrible way?
First of all, Adam Sandler does not need money. This is not a money grab. This movie
doesn't
has taken
need money.
He doesn't. He's worth so much money.
This movie has been in the works for I don't know how many, you know, how long. I've been hearing about it forever. So it's not like they just scrounged up some actors and was like, let's go ahead and get this money and then make this movie real quick, right? I mean, they, you know, I from what I've heard, it stands up as being a good sequel. It wasn't like, as you said,
it's not an Oscar movie.
Emmy Award.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's none of that, but it's an Adam Sandler flick.
And the cameos are just amazing.
That would be fun in and of itself.
I haven't heard a bad thing from anybody who's seen it yet.
All right, Xander Schauffele has some of the best, one of the best cameos in the entire movie. I can't wait for you guys to see it. Chris, why do you're a film guy?
I'm a film critic.
I hate when people say
yeah,
film.
I'm a
by
film.
The way.
My wife is a film critic too. Yeah.
I don't like the word film.
We don't even get to see movies that have bad ratings most of the time.
Yeah,
right?
You'll never see Happy Gilmore 2 then.
Well. Your answer,
Chris, what is your opinion on Happy Gilmore 2?
Because the film critics want to try to show you how smart they are, and that's what most of them do. I'm going to give you a short answer so that you can get out of this segment somewhat on time.
All right, thank you. I can't wait for you guys to watch this movie, because Xander Schauffele had me laughing out loud.
Yeah, critics, though, have never stopped people from watching movies. I mean, be honest about it. All of the Marvel, you know, movies, right, and the comics and the DC, you know, all of that stuff, that universe, you know, how many people go to those movies? Millions and millions of dollars they make. The critics never like any of them.
That's true.
So,
true.
We don't listen.
So hoity-toity critics.
Good point.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for the Big Five. When we get back, I forgot what we were doing for a second, but we're going to get
we're
going to
count up all the mistakes you made during the Big Five.
Knock it off the rust here, buddy.
Game two between the Mets and the Padres on 97.3 The Fan.